Our scripture lesson today comes from the second chapter of the book of Acts, the story of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had come, they, that is the disciples, were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came the sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. He said, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel, who said, 'In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams.'" So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today is a great and grand celebration, a birthday party for the church. What the 4th of July is for America, Pentecost is for Christianity around the world and throughout the ages. It's the day that we remember how we got started, how we came into being. And as we remember our origin as a community, we also recommit ourselves each year, in each and every age, to continue the Pentecostal tradition, to translate the faith from one generation to the next. On Pentecost, we remember so that we can move forward as a Spirit-filled, fiery family of faith. In fact, Pentecost was already a great day of celebration long before Christianity was on the scene. For ancient Jewish people, this day was the great summer festival of harvest, 50 days after Passover. That's where the name Pentecost comes from, 50 days. People traveled from far and wide, from all around the ancient world, to come to Jerusalem for the celebration on that day. At that point in history, as is still the case today, there were more Jews living outside of Israel than there were actually there. And so for this great summer celebration, there were many pilgrims and immigrants, thousands and thousands who came to Jerusalem for the festivities. And from the start, the theme of harvest was already in the air. Up till now, there had only been a small group in the community that followed Jesus, the church. Last week, we read in the chapter before this that there were only about 120 members of the Christian community until it happened. Suddenly, a mighty whirlwind came down from heaven itself. A divine tornado blew through the group of disciples with a loud noise, shaking the rafters, getting everyone's attention. Instead of rain, this storm seemed to drop drips of fire upon the community, igniting a scene that was unbelievable to behold. These few disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they started talking. They started speaking and preaching as the church went public with its proclamation about Jesus Christ. In a miracle that no one could explain, those thousands and thousands of pilgrims and immigrants who had come from all over the world were able to hear the words of the disciples in their own native languages. Today, if we made a list, it might go something like this. They heard in Spanish and English and Korean and Chinese and French and Russian, in Arabic and Farsi and Cherokee and Navajo, Swahili and Afrikaans, and all the other languages of the world. All the diversity of human speech coming together to hear about God's great deeds of power. From the beginning, our Christian faith has not been bound to one culture or language, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, it has been a translated faith, a migrating faith that reaches out and welcomes in the uniqueness and diversity of all its hearers and followers. This summer, as you've heard, we'll be engaging in another one of our exciting Faith and the Arts Summer Sunday School series. We'll be looking at the book of Genesis this summer with worship services and sermons based on certain stories, as well as these exciting guest speakers that will explore these pivotal events from the first book of the Bible. Briefly, though, I want to point out today two places where a familiarity with the book of Genesis sheds light on what's going on in this story, thousands of years later, in the book of Acts. First, notice on Pentecost how and who begins this creative activity. It is a mighty whirlwind from heaven that rushes over the assembled crowd. In the very beginning of the book of Genesis, we hear, "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." The first thing to occur in all of creation is the wind from God, the Holy Spirit, moving. And then it is through speech. God said, "Let there be light." It is through speech that all creation comes into being. In the story of Pentecost, we begin with the movement of the wind of God, the Holy Spirit, and then the new community is formed through the power of speech, through words spoken and heard. This story, the Pentecost story, is told in ways that make it immediately clear that this is connecting to that ancient, ancient story of Genesis, that the birth of the church is nothing short of a new creation coming into being through Spirit and Word, just as the first creation came into being. Secondly, there's another story we're going to read about this summer. Some of you may have heard it before, the Tower of Babel. Do you know that story? An ancient tale about a prideful people who tried to build an empire of uniformity and to build a tower so tall that it could reach all the way up to heaven itself so that they could challenge God Himself. In the story, God destroys the tower and scatters these people's forces. One of the results in the story is that at this point, all of humanity begin to speak in different languages. They could not understand one another, so they could not come back together to challenge God. What happens here in Pentecost is a divine reversal of that Tower of Babel story. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, the division of different languages is now transcended. The rift is mended. What was scattered abroad has now been gathered back in together. The new community of harmony, the vast harvest of the new creation, in which difference and diversity is no longer a threat to unity, but a sign of God's miraculous and creative power. In the story of Pentecost, we see through the lens of the book of Genesis that from the beginning, in the beginning, our community has been more broad and wide than we in our limited human minds could ever dream possible. That from the beginning, the church has always been a family of people who don't belong together, but whom God has nonetheless brought together through the Holy Spirit. From the beginning and throughout the ages, the church has been made up of pilgrims and immigrants, different languages, ideologies, worldviews, different races, classes, genders, nationalities, political parties, rich and poor, slave and free, male and female, Jew and Gentile, united together under Christ our one Lord, who died for us all, who rose for us all so that we could all be set free together from our captivity to sin. Finally, there's one more thing to notice about this story of who we have been from the beginning. We've always been the kind of community that people don't expect to see and don't know how to handle. Notice in the descriptions of what people are thinking and feeling as they observe this miracle of Pentecost. The Scripture tells us they were bewildered, amazed, astonished, and perplexed. That this kind of community, that this kind of family could really exist on earth is amazing. It's beyond belief, beyond explanation. And for some, it does not look like a good thing. There are those crotchety, grumbling folks who just don't get it. Heaven is literally being poured out on earth. They're seeing it before their very eyes, and some say, oh, they're just filled with new wine. What a bunch of intoxicated fools. There have always been some in society, in every society, who are not convinced that the kind of vast and inclusive community that God is building is really a good thing. There are some who are scared of difference, fearful of change, unwelcoming of the harvest of the new creation that God is gathering in together. They've always been around. Those folks who think we're just drunk with the wine of our age. When the church pushed for change in the era of the civil rights movement, there were many who thought we were just drunk with the wine of socialism or communism, labels that were quick and easy to be thrown out against opponents. When the church today seeks to bridge the many divisions in our world, there are some who are quick to label us as drunk with the spirit of our age, drunk with pluralism or tokenism or diversity for diversity's sake. They pretend to remember the good old days a few decades ago and forget that there never really have been altogether good days, that the church has from the beginning been challenged and condemned by those in power who could not celebrate the new creation that God was calling into being. Fear of welcoming those who are different has, of course, gone to extremes of genocides or ethnic cleansing or acts of terror. Think of the Nazis or the Ku Klux Klan claiming to act in the name of Christian faith. No better than radical religious terrorists today claiming to act in the name of any faith. As a wise preacher once said, people fear difference, otherness, the strangeness of the stranger. But the real threat lies not in the differences that God has woven into all parts of creation, including humanity. No, the great danger lies in any one group's lust to power over others, its insistence that its identity alone reflects God's nature and God's ways, its demand that the otherness of others be erased from the pages of history or from the face of the earth. We've seen that story played out throughout the ages, haven't we? And we still see glimpses of it today in the news cycle of any given week. But instead of this cycle of fear and distrust and hate of those who are different than ourselves, from the beginning, the Christian church has been a community that is not bound to fear, that does not know the boundaries of race or language. All nations, all people are being called together into the harvest of the new creation. From our beginning, the Spirit has empowered and enabled the church to speak and translate its faith in fresh new ways for new ears to hear. And so on this great day of celebration, as we remember where we came from and pray for where we are going, as we retell the story of Pentecost, the birth story of the church, may we be reminded of who we are, reminded that the church's job is to gather together in all people, to welcome in and remind all people that they are created in God's image together, that we are redeemed by Christ's death and resurrection together, that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to live in communion with one another amidst all the beautiful differences that God has woven into our midst. Friends, the good news of the Pentecost story is the harvest of the new creation has already begun. We are a part of it, and we are called to gather others in and welcome them in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.